sound like Dirty Harry just then.
Oh, she's missing in this movie. She would have been a great, like, administration. I don't know why right? I said that weird.
Administration. Like,
or maybe she would have been.
It's a little late.
Like, she could have been, like, Ducky's mom. Yeah. You know? That would have been a good role.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah. Why don't I want to like see Ducky. Ducky's mom. I want to see the wonderful mother that raised this man, this precious,
you know what? Let's just dude. Put it out there. She is Ducky's mom. Let's just.
Edie McClurg, you are Ducky's mom. You have been officially cast.
Yes. It was cut.
It was cut.
This is fact. John Hughes fact. Told me when he was still alive.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. And welcome back to Salem and Banks Present. I am your host, Nina. I'll be your Salem today. And I'm joined again with my ever-amazing co-host, or co-ho.
Yeah.
As we established last time.
Bree June, or Briga Bay. I got co-ho from Como, because this summer I was a co-maid of honor.
Ah. So now you're a co-ho.
Co-ho,
I like
yeah.
it. Bree. My Binks today. Will you be my Valentine?
Oh my gosh! I never thought you'd ask.
I love you. I love Valentines, I have to say.
Is it okay if I also asked your cat to be my Valentine?
Absolutely. Like, you can be mine, and then you can, like, also, like, she can be yours. So it's a
she
whole.
She can be both of ours.
We're close.
Yes.
We're very close in this little makeshift studio here.
I do request some conversation hearts as a gift.
Yes. Chalky candies.
Yeah, they are made of chalk.
They're very chalky.
Chalk, sugar, and food coloring.
Oh, I do love the season of conversation hearts. And we are having a grand conversation today on a beloved classic, an ultimate, I don't want to say rom-com. It's really kind of more of a rom-drom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's funny parts, but it's heartfelt. It is the ultimate go-to 80s teen flick that everyone knows and loves.
Pretty in Pink.
Who doesn't love it? I mean, John Hughes, let's do this. All right, folks, we are mixing it up today because Bree is my Valentine. She has decided to be sweet and loving and read that B.O.B. for us this week. Very, very excited. So, Bree, go ahead and take it away.
I'm going to do it in a weird voice, though.
Oh, well, that's the fun of it. The B.O.B. always has to be read really ridiculously, ridiculous voices. I mean, have fun with it. And this is the B.O.B. for Pretty in Pink.
Teen sensations Molly Ringwald, 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, and Andrew McCarthy, St. Elmo's Fire, drew raves for their starring performances in this hit love story by John Hughes, The Breakfast Club, Mr. Mom. She's a high school girl from the wrong side of town. He's the wealthy heartthrob who asks her to prom. But as fast as their romance builds, it's threatened by the painful reality of peer pressure. A bittersweet story with an upbeat ending and a phenomenal rock score, Pretty in Pink, also stars Harry Dean Stanton, John Cryer, James Spader, and Annie Potts.
OMG. That... Welcome to NPR.
I've always wanted to do that. I don't know why I'm crying. It was so stupid.
Oh my God. I loved it. Oh, well, there you have it, folks. Bree killed it, and I love it.
So 1986. This is the third of three Molly Ringwald back-to-back 84, 85, 86 movies. And kind of final of that era.
Yeah, I think the Brat Pack stuff kind of died down kind of after this. Because then I think John Hughes started doing like Christmas Vacation. And
yeah, more family
Planes, Trains,
movies.
And Automobiles. Yeah, yeah. And it became less like teen flicks.
Centric.
Yeah.
He's probably just chasing those demographic numbers. He's like, okay, who goes to the movies? Yeah,
exactly.
Breakfast Club was my favorite.
Love.
Pretty in Pink is my second, and then 16 Candles. I can relate to this one more than the Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
I can't relate to 16 Candles at all. I had a hard time believing 16 Candles. One, didn't the sister have her wedding on the same day?
Yeah. That was just difficult. I think
no red flag. No one said, hey, isn't that her birthday?
Nobody remembered.
And then they forgot it. I mean, that's so sad. Not really believable.
I know. It was kind of sad. And then obviously the whole just super jog.
It was a jump.
It was a huge jump.
And is that the goal?
Yeah, right.
Like in life, it was just to date the most popular boy in school.
It was too superficial. I mean, you can dive into this story, which we're going to do, and kind of see a lot more depth to its simplicity rather than it just being this material surface level kind of movie, if that makes sense.
I remember this movie as kind of being like my mom's movie. Mm-hmm. Like she liked this movie. It came out the same year I was born.
Oh.
Which means my mom was like 21. So this was right up her alley. I feel like it didn't represent my high school experience.
Right.
I think that Mean Girls did such a better job. But it also came out my senior year. Yeah. So it just kind of fit a little bit better, but
I definitely have a lot of memories of watching this with my mom. Not as much as, say, you know, Home Alone or The Santa Claus or anything, like other movies we've kind of discussed or even done episodes on. But I definitely have always enjoyed this movie. If it's on, I will watch it. I always just like the simplicity of it, but I love especially Ducky, and I could just enjoy sitting back, not thinking too much on it. I mean, it's just a really enjoyable movie. It's very sweet.
I haven't seen it since probably junior high, so it was really fun to go back and watch it, you know, with an adult's eyes.
Yeah.
Kind of see it a little differently. But this movie honestly triggered some old, like, wounds from high school. Some, like, prom, you know, dance kind of, that anxiety and, like, getting stood up.
Oh, yeah. It makes you remember old loves, old heartbreak, to do this at Valentine's Day because it's just that perfect story that has it all. It's got falling in love. It's got heartbreak. It's, you know, it's a good mix, but
it kind of reminded me that when you're a teenager, everything is so important and like the end of the world. And thinking back on things that I held so high and just laughing about it now, like
I did put value on things that were just not
important. I really don't know why it's a requirement, or not a requirement, but kind of normalized to always go with a date. I don't know why just everyone can't go to the dance together.
I think in our time, or at least like, I didn't have dates for stuff. I would just go with friends.
That wasn't my high school. I don't know. Maybe there's a couple people that went stag, or like two friends went together. But it was definitely like you had to buy the tickets in pairs. Mm. So you had to have a date.
Yeah. That's interesting. At our school, I was very lucky because when it came to prom, I got asked by the worst guys I could not stand, as in like one or two. But thank God that being in theater, there were lots of Mormons who wanted to rent out a party bus and go to prom. So they just needed one more person in their party bus. And so they asked me. So lucky for me, instead of getting asked out by guys I liked, I got to crash a Mormon party bus to go to prom. And it was great. You know, a lot of covered shoulders. A lot of Taylor Swift on that bus.
I was asked to prom at a Mighty Ducks game.
Oh.
They were still the Mighty Ducks back then. Now they're referred to as the Anaheim Ducks. It was very casual. I was with my then high school boyfriend, and he kind of looked over and said, hey, do you want to go to prom? I was like, I thought we were just going to go. Like, I didn't know I'd be asked. I was like, I already, like, bought my dress.
Oh, that's cute.
Prom was super fun.
Yeah.
But when I got there, I quickly was mortified because two other girls had the same dress as me.
Ooh.
And that sucked. And I think I was I think I was the only girl that had, I mean, besides the other two girls, the only dress that had a repeat. And it was just like,
oh, man.
Why?
Yeah. That means you were that cool and trendy.
And there I remember even like guys coming up to me and being like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I saw da 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 with your dress. I'm like, yeah, I know.
When you're in high school, that's such a big deal.
It was. Yeah. Now, I think it would have been fun. We probably would have taken photos.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I wish that's me funny. And those two girls took like a photo together. Yeah. But we didn't. We were.
It's like you take it so personally.
We were mortified. All of us.
When we're looking back on it and thinking back on it helps us to understand, looking at this movie, what kind of would have been going through those characters' minds a little bit and their motivations and their feelings.
I remember not realizing it was a big deal, but knowing that I didn't want to miss it.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to go again. I mean, after you graduate, that's it. Yeah. I love in the movie when Andy's at work and her coworker Iona's like, oh, my friend, she'll just have these random thoughts of like, I'm missing something and da da da.
Yeah.
And she equates it back to
not going to prom. And
I watched it, I was like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think it was just her kind of encouraging Andy, mm-hmm. like, you should just go, you'll regret it later. Just go.
Yeah. And you never know what happens. Sometimes, especially when you have no expectations, good things can happen, right?
Exactly.
So I think overall, yeah, I really enjoy this movie, and I just thought it would be perfect to look at it for Valentine's Day. So from love to heartbreak, we're going to dive into this movie right now.
You know, I think it's a good choice for Valentine's, too, because it's not necessarily going to make you cry.
Right.
A movie like The Notebook,
purposely avoided it.
Yeah, forget it.
I was just like, no, that's just, why do these love movies have to be that sad? You know, it's rough. It's rough.
Too emotional. So, you know, it's a fun watch with your partner. It's mm-hmm. a fun watch alone.
Yeah.
It's nostalgic.
Yeah, this is an iconic one for sure. This movie is such a celebrated film. I don't think that they really expected it to be this successful.
No.
Like at all.
Well, and it became such an inspiration to so many movies that followed.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie starts out in a way that I love and is when someone is getting ready during the opening credits.
Why is that always so satisfying?
I love it. Like
Elle Woods.
The Devil Wears Prada, Legally Blonde, Wish Upon a Star.
Yes, I love Wish Upon a Star so much.
All be kind of like an homage to this movie. I'm not sure because it's just so fun to see.
Such a
she's
theory,
putting on
maybe.
Her nylons and like mm-hmm. lipstick, and it's just so fun.
The opening is interesting because you see the train tracks, you see garbage trucks, you see kind of a little bit of a rough looking neighborhood, and then you cut to this montage of this gorgeous girl getting ready, and it's literally Pretty in Pink, exactly what you imagine to the song Pretty in Pink by Psychedelic Fur. Totally classic. I guess she told John Hughes that she was into that song and was like, can you write something?
Yeah, it was her favorite song at the time.
So cute.
So this was number three in her three movie
at deal. That point, you can make a lot of demands, I guess. 16 Candles, her character's a little bit different. She's not a strong woman like she kind of is in this movie. In this film, she takes care of her father. She kind of knows who she is. Like, the whole thing about her making her own clothes and being very stylish and being confident in that, she still has insecurities, you know, especially about money and about being, you know, in status. But I do think generally where she's at, she's kind of doing her best. But I feel like in 16 Candles, she's like a little bit mousy, a little bit more, way more insecure. And
yeah, it's a little more she's all daddy.
Yeah. And then, of course, Breakfast Club, she's a soch, basically. Yes. Like, it's totally so the other way.
That is cool that she plays kind of three different roles mm-hmm. as a teen. You're not just seen. I mean, some people could argue it's kind of the same thing. But she kind of has to grow up and be the one because her dad is a bum.
He really is. Like, it's so sad. And that's part of the opening. She gets ready. She goes to her dad and is like, hey, Dad, wake up. It's like 7 in the morning. And he's like,
He won't get up.
Straight up asleep. He tries to go to sleep again, and she's like, come on. And it's kind of cute, but you also know as a viewer that's going to be a problem because you can tell they're making light of it now, but it's been a problem and it's going to continue to be one.
I think they kind of went hard on him being out of work and mm-hmm. depressed. It was sad. I mean, you see in Clueless, you know, Cher kind of takes care of her dad. Like, he makes sure he eats right mm-hmm. and, you know, drinks his juice and all that. But he still got it together and takes care of, you know, Cher in the house. This dad is like, can't even get out of bed, can't hold a job, has clearly no motivation.
Depressed. Yeah.
Yeah. And they really went dark on that.
I thought it was a very good, real element to it. I thought it made it it didn't fluff it up to be like, oh, he's got a few issues, but it wasn't like the Clueless thing where, you know, mother died and so I'm just helping out. And it's like, in this, mother left, like she chose to leave, and that is there, and you feel that.
Well, it kind of makes me think that he might have been depressive prior. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we don't know the backstory, right. But it's really sad. It's hard for me to watch a father figure have kind of no confidence, no work ethic. And
it's so sad. And
no ambition.
It's sort of a reluctant leadership. It's like a obligation, but speaking of love, it's a type of love too. She tries her best to encourage him to do better, kind of knowing that he still needs her to step up in areas where he just can't.
It was just sad, like even their relationship, like he doesn't know that she doesn't like eggs her entire life. So it's not really the excuse of like over the last 3 years
he's
been down. He just was kind of
aloof.
Yeah, like he doesn't really know her.
Mm-hmm.
And they have kind of separate lives. She works after school. She comes home. They don't see each other all the time.
Yeah. I did like in the opening, he says something about her clothes. He knows that she likes to make clothes. And that's a strength, you know, we'll see. And it's just her creativity that we'll kind of see throughout. But he does know that about her, which I thought was kind of sweet. And he does say to her, oh, you haven't talked in a while. And she's like, well, I've been out late and stuff. But it's like, you know, so there's love there for sure, but like you said, it's like, well, where is like the give and the take? And it's really about her kind
of supporting. Yeah, they're not a team.
Exactly.
This movie has really good music in it. And at the time, it was hot.
Yeah. And she chose a lot of this music.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, because she, I mean, obviously Pretty in Pink, she was like, that's got to be the song. That's got to be the theme. But then I guess there's a band called the Rave Ups that is in this that she was just really into. And she's like, we got to feature them.
I love the name tracks for a record store. That was so cool.
Right?
This was, I think it's supposed to take place in Chicago, but it's very, very LA vibe-ish. And they filmed it in LA.
Yeah.
So most John Hughes movies are all filmed in Chicago or a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
In Illinois, you're right.
This doesn't have really that Midwestern kind of feel that you usually get from his films.
To me, it feels super LA. Ducky looks like every basic Venice girl now. So it just fits like,
oh yeah,
those circle glasses and the hat.
Oh my God, completely. It reminds me how like the 80s. Fashion-wise, was a time of, like, such liberation. Because there was so much of, like, yuppie culture and prep, there had to be this counterculture to that that was the antithesis of prep and was, like, wear whatever. Rip that skirt up. Dye that top. Wrap it up. Put it on your head. Like, do all these crazy weird things. Yeah,
that was heavily influenced by music. So it would make sense that this movie would have really cool and good music.
Yeah, I like that not only was music inspiring when making the film, but kind of plays a role in the film in that she works at the record shop.
Definitely. I mean, you see the record store and there's a little sign that says The Smiths. And then when Ducky is like really sad in his room, which I'm not sure. He looks like he's homeless in this moment. Oh, that's the saddest room I've ever seen in my life.
It's really rough.
It's a mattress on the floor with, like, graffiti behind it.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're playing The Smiths. So it kind of ties it in.
Yeah. They do a good job of that throughout. And there's a couple of good kind of emotional tracks. And John Hughes is good at this. Like, he'll find what, you know, then was modern stuff. But that felt kind of, that evoked classic emotion. Mm-hmm. You know, and we see that in, like, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We get some of those, like, synth tracks that are really heartfelt. Like, in those scenes where the... where Del Griffith gives his monologue, it's like, whoa, like you feel, you feel it. And there's a couple moments in this where there's tension.
Oh, definitely. When Andy confronts Blaine about the prom and just the
lead up to that,
the score behind it is like, oof.
They get you ready for that.
Okay. Can we take a moment and talk about the hair in this movie?
We can absolutely talk about the feathered locks.
I have a top pick. Ooh. I would like to hear your top hair pick of this movie. And you can have two. You can have a guy and a girl, because I kind of have a guy and a girl.
You have a guy and a girl? Okay, I'm going to say Ducky for guy hair, because it is wild. Obviously, like a vintage-inspired look. A girl's, I'm going to say Jen. I like her wacky, wild... this is how I wear my hair in PE kind of look.
Yeah, she kind of has a look, too, that, like, this is natural but cool.
Yeah.
My favorite guy hair is...
Steph?
Steph, 100.
I knew you were going to say it. Okay. It is so perfect.
I just love everything about Steph in this movie.
Let's talk about Steph. He's so
perfect, but...
love it.
Real quick... number one hairstyle in this movie. Is there econ history?
It's always government an econ teacher. Class. If it's a John Hughes film, it's always an econ class.
It is just so full, and it bounces, and it's like my ideal color. Like, I just love it so much. I wish my hair looked like that.
The way
that
those
now.
Curls move, like, no joke, I noticed it.
It just flows.
Oh my God. It's kind of like 70s to 90s timeless. Like, it works.
She doesn't even have a name in this movie. And it's so funny, on IMDb it says English teacher, but she's clearly talking about the New Deal and not English. There's like a world, there's a globe, there's like world flags.
She says FDR at some point. Like,
IMDb says English teacher. I'm like, did you go to high school?
Yeah. DOO economics. Voodoo economics. That's how I learned from Ferris Bueller, guys.
This movie, to me, takes place in the first 30 minutes, and then nothing really happens, and then the last
then
5
the
minutes.
Yeah.
It's like the intro, there's so much going on. You're like meeting new characters, you're seeing like the world, they build this world, and then it's like, are we on a date? Are we not on a date?
Yeah.
I looked at a dress. I hung out with my coworker. I'm sad about Ducky. I don't know. I talked to my dog for a second.
You summed it up perfectly. We're done. Good night. Forgive us for talking a lot about the first 5 minutes, because there's a lot.
There's
a lot.
So much happens. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we see Ducky, and like, he's super funny. When I was a kid, I thought he was gay, even as a kid.
Okay. So that's... I feel like a lot of people say that, and I do
is
think...
they think they know now that he is?
Well, I'll share this in the show notes. There's a really good little video from the, like, 30-year anniversary, and they're all sitting there kind of talking about it, and John Cryer, you know, Molly Ringwald makes that joke, like, and then he came out later, like, as a kind of a silly moment, and
he
laughs,
argues
but then
that.
He says, you know, no, I never... really saw him that way, and I don't either.
You're
get that from.
You're right, and I get where he's coming from, but there's also a flip side of that of like, it's different now, thankfully, but back when, even when I was in high school, it was like the day after graduation, all these people came out.
Right.
And so that's what, like, I think I just thought, even when I was too young to really know, like, androgyny and this kind of thing, to me he seemed like so effeminate that he would be like that gay best friend.
Right.
And then watching it now, I was like, I didn't realize he was so like in love with her.
Right.
When I was a kid. I didn't notice it.
I think that's the thing. I think it does take a rewatch as an adult, and this time when we're a little more aware of stuff. It's just the quick judgmental like go-to because he's quirky. And he dresses different. He's kind of got a fashion sense.
I don't even think it's that. It's like he doesn't have that same bravado that the Richie boys do.
Right. But it's also, some of that's a retaliation on purpose to be like, I'm not that guy. I'm never going to be that guy. I'm my own guy. I'm a different guy. I just feel like that's always such a quick assumption. And I guess I just have known a lot of guys like Ducky.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And I've known guys like Ducky who've been in love with women.
For sure.
Yeah.
As a kid, though, because I hadn't seen this movie since junior high, I did not pick up when I was young on, like, how hard they were hitting that he's in love with her.
Yeah.
And even, like, one of his first lines is he goes up to two girls and he's like, which one of you two wants to get pregnant? Which is so problematic.
So inappropriate.
But
they, like, hit him, too.
I didn't pick up on that. And, like, when he was in the bathroom, like, in the girls' bathroom when he gets pushed in, he handles it very funny. I love when he improvised this line. He said, we don't have a candy machine in here. That, I think, is so funny.
I loved that.
But no one really was, like, super mad that he was in the bathroom.
Which, like,
so those were the cues I was picking up as a child.
Yeah. And that's the thing. He's not an intimidating guy. You know, to them, he's not maybe a quote real man because he's not intimidating, but he's just a sensitive guy.
Apart from the want to get pregnant line, he doesn't have the toxic masculinity that we used to see. If Steph went in the bathroom, I mean, girls would be pushing him out, like, get out, screaming at him.
And he would be quick to make cruel jokes toward their bodies versus Ducky's making hilarious jokes about the bathroom itself. Yes. Like, that's the difference. That's the kind of guy that he is. He's a, you know, comic. He's a joker. He reaches for humor constantly because he's hurting. He's in so much pain and in so much anguish because he loves this girl so much that he masks it. I got it, but I can see how a lot of people wouldn't get it and would assume otherwise.
Watching it as an adult, I saw more that Ducky was using humor to mask his insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's totally in love with Andy and saying things like, I'll get us a reservation at the cafeteria for two. Oh, you know, like the window. Like, that kind of stuff is so funny. You know, and he's in her room and she leaves and he's like, oh, my heart.
He's like, I love those girls.
But then he's so funny to her, like, oh, I can't drink and drive. And she's holding the juice box. And
he's so funny.
He's being so funny, but he is, like, dying on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's so hard when, you know, she grabs his neck and they touch foreheads. And
that scene.
That's a natural moment where you would have your first kiss.
I know.
And she says, you know, she says, I know I get annoyed with you, but you know I secretly love it.
Yeah.
It was leading into, I thought she was going to say secretly love you or kind of like maybe that's what he wanted to hear.
Or like even if she said it in like a just friends kind of a way, I did think she was going to say that too.
Yeah. And the way like it just stops there and it's like, oh, he had like make your move. Yeah. It was right there. But she's not into him like that.
Before we, especially because we're talking about Ducky, before we get to the other men, you know about the reshoot.
Yeah.
So I found that scene where they're kind of close. I mean, it seems almost intimate where she's like, it seemed like she was going to say, I love you. That particular scene. I kind of, looking back on it, go, I feel like that fits better with the original ending of like them ending up together.
I see what you're saying. I feel like they did not do, and they put zero effort in making us feel like she had feelings for him.
That was the only scene where I felt it. Everywhere else, she's kind of annoyed with him. She kind of can't stand him. And,
yeah, but it's not, there's no pause. Right. There should have been like a pause of, are they going to kiss? They did not have a moment.
Yeah.
I think he was feeling.
She wasn't having it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, you know how, like a shared moment.
Yeah.
He was probably freaking out and he even kind of, mm-hmm. you know, was like, ugh, when yeah. it's over. But it's sad and it doesn't make me feel like, oh, they she should be with him.
Right.
Like that, he was under your nose the whole time or mm-hmm. right in front of your face kind of mentality. Right. Which we've seen before.
It's very interesting. So, in case you didn't know, this film
was in reshot.
This film, yeah, the ending took a totally different direction. Originally, they were going to have her end up with Ducky. And like you said, it is a little hard to picture, and because most of the whole film, you know, they didn't reshoot the whole film, so most of everything leading up toward the end is like, she's irritated with him. And I can see they wanted to do this whole, all you need is right in your own backyard or under your nose kind of thing. But it just didn't work with the test audience. The women were like, no, 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 no.
People booed it.
Yeah. Where they have that sort of moment, I'm like, ooh, she doesn't realize that this is like kind of like teasing him.
She's totally teasing him.
Yeah. And that I didn't like, just for his own sake, for his own feelings. And it wasn't seeming like it was on purpose. It was like she's so oblivious to like how much he really loves her.
They could have written it in a way where they could have ended up together, where people would like it.
Because
that is a fun story to see you fall in love with your best friend or the girl mm-hmm. next door, the guy next door, whatever. That could have worked. But they really hit it over our heads that she's not into him.
Yeah.
When they go to the club and see live music and we see Andrew Dice Clay as the bouncer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And he's out there talking to Ducky and he says, you know, how many times have you let me in? He's like, I've never let you in. He goes, oh, my girl's in there. And he says, why do you think she hangs out somewhere that I don't let you in?
Yeah.
I mean, that really just nails it home right. that, like, she's not into him.
Yeah.
She's not thinking of him at all.
He's kind of, like, in denial. But it's sad that he just isn't getting that. And it's really weird when he goes to her dad and is like, yeah, I plan to marry her. It's like, dude, like, that's hopeful. That's really sweet. But, like...
And it could be a possibility if he was doing it right, or mm-hmm. I don't think he ever let her see him any differently than this, like, kind of annoying yeah. little brother almost.
Right.
I know they had been friends since they were kids. She said something like, we've talked 20 times a day for yeah. 8 years. But, you know, him calling 16 times a night, yeah. just showing up at her work.
The problem with his clinginess is that that's the problem with any kind of clinginess. You want to leave a little bit of unavailability in a sense, not to ignore anybody by any means, but if you're putting yourself too much, you're laying it on too thick, you're trying too hard, then you're not going to be appreciated.
It's or almost missed. Disrespectful and controlling too.
Yeah.
Because you're not
it's
respecting
smothering.
That person's time.
Right.
And choices, mm-hmm. and you're trying to control that they're spending their time with you
yeah.
just by showing up, constantly calling, constantly.
Right.
I mean, those kind of people drive me crazy.
For sure. For sure. And I think it would drive anybody crazy. And in the movie, they do a good job of making him endearing enough where you don't hate him.
Exactly.
In real life.
I would want to hang out with Ducky.
Right. 100%. Like, Ducky is... not only the best friend every girl kind of would want to have in a man, but I do think he's also the makings of, not yet, but the makings of the man you want to marry later. After
yes.
you've been with the pretty boys or the bad boys or the whoever's, you know, he has the heart and the intention of Mr. Right, and he's just not that right now.
But so does all. Blaine.
Blaine definitely does too.
Steph
yeah.
does not.
No, Steph has a lot to learn. We'll talk about Steph. He has a lot to learn. But I think Blaine is great. I think a lot of people have debated in the future what happens. Does she stay with Blaine because they kind of have this Romeo and Juliet thing that they made work despite their peer pressures? Or is it the kind of thing that's... yes, they did that, and that lasts for so however many years until they realize how little they have in common, not just economically, but, you know, passionately. Like, does that really last?
I don't think she'd end up with either of them. I think she'd date Blaine for a bit, like maybe the summer. Mm-hmm. Ducky gets too upset. He meets that girl at prom. So he's
I think that saved the whole movie.
The end?
Yeah. I think it saved the whole movie because I think if Ducky hadn't had anybody, it would have been heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because we do love him. We do want the best. We just know he's not doing it right. But I think them giving him not only a chick, but a hot chick.
Oh, she was gorgeous.
It made a huge difference to me because I get so annoyed when they just put character actors with character actors. Because I'm like, in reality, so, you know, it's not about, oh, they're in my league. Like, that becomes too Hollywood. And I felt like there was a little hint of, I guess it's a bit of both sides. It could be like, okay, what? The geeky guy gets a hot chick? I don't know. That's annoying and cliche and overdone in Hollywood. But at the same time, in this case, he's so sweet that you...
She looked like she'd be a sweet girl. She wasn't like one of those rude, richy girls.
Mean, bitchy, rich girls. Yeah. Yeah. Ducky's dance.
Oh, Otis Redding. It's amazing.
So good.
It is so good.
So, like... Even if you're not into romantic movies, even if you're not into sappy stuff, I mean, just watch this movie for that scene.
Oh, fun fact, the choreographer for Footloose was like on set and showed him a few, moves like the night before and was like, okay, you gotta do this.
Yes.
And then his shoes, they were vintage shoes and they were a little too small for him and he danced his little tail off that he like ripped holes in his shoes.
Precious. Love him. That was truly an incredible, incredible moment.
He does have some great dance numbers and kind of musical numbers, like when he does the dance to Otis Redding and then when he sings in her room and she can hear him through like the vent.
Yeah. That was really
so cute.
Oh my gosh. And then he's like wearing her hat and stuff. And then when she comes back in the room, she's like, like, he just gets so nervous. He ends up like, I just gotta go. It's like, oh.
Yeah, and that was a tough scene because, like, she's kind of seen another side of him since she's listening in, eavesdropping on him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh. Like, maybe she kind of was a little bit more open to him at that moment. And then he freaks out and he's like, I gotta go.
Yeah. It was like.
Like, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
If we could go back to Steph.
Oh, let's talk
so
about
Steph. To talk about Steph.
Yes. Okay.
One, he hits her up on her car, which I'm in love with, that pink car.
Yes.
Oh, I would drive that all day, every day.
In pink.
So cute. Loved it. Almost seems like she wouldn't have been able to afford a car like that because it's too pretty. Like, it has a brand new paint job kind of thing.
Right. It's like, how does she score that? It's a little too perfect.
It's a gorgeous car.
Yeah.
But it's so weird. He's like, I've liked you for 4 years. It's so weird.
Very interesting statement.
You would think that he would only date the Richie girls.
And we do see him later.
With Benny.
Getting,
So, one, great hair. Two, wears a suit.
Suit to high school.
Anybody wear
where he
suit?
Never attends class, by the way. He smokes cigarettes in hallways. And in parking lots.
Oh, I love when he calls her a bitch and pulls the cigarette out.
Such a dick.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But the casting is on point. And I know that they were struggling to cast. They were thinking about having him play
Blaine. Yeah.
And he was just like, no, I want to be an asshole. Because he's kind of eccentric. That's how he is. He was like, I don't want to do this. He fucking kills it. And I think Blaine has that vulnerability and that charisma. Andrew McCarthy, I think he has that perfect for Blaine. And obviously John Cryer has every ounce that is Ducky, making Ducky what
Ducky is.
Oh, yeah,
he made Ducky. Yeah. Blaine is just like a sweet guy that's not caught up in, you know, he might come from the better trucks of town, but like he doesn't really, he kind of just seems like in the middle.
Right.
You know, he does seem a little out of water when he goes outside to find her, but it's more because everyone is dressed very alt and cool, and he has like a button down shirt.
Yeah.
But Steph makes a point for everyone to know that he's richer than mm-hmm. them, more important than them. I mean, he asks
He Blaine, really embraces that world oh, he mentions, and shoves it in everyone's face wherever he goes.
He takes Blaine away from the record store to go skeet shooting. Yeah. I mean, like, how yuppie can you get? And then when he's at his party and they go in there and he goes, just watching some tunes. Yeah. It took me it's a all full, shit like, faced. I had to rewind it because at first I thought he was talking about, like, music. Like, I'm listening to music, but I'm like, he said watching. And then I literally had the closed captions on and it says tunes like cartoons. I'm like, he's just watching cartoons. Yeah.
There's a party, and he's like, I'm going to get drunk, put this on, maybe hang out with Benny, get some luckiness out of that. God.
If we're going to shoot some trap, we better go now. He looks so Miami Vice-y. Like, mm-hmm.
This guy probably, like,
with his hair.
Does coke in the cafeteria. I mean, Bower. He's got the confidence for it.
Sure.
He's got the outfit. He's got the smugness. He's living it.
So Steph's that guy that, you know, he's mad because there's that one girl he can't get.
Yeah.
And he keeps dating all these girls. And it's not necessarily that he likes her. It's like that she sees him for who he is.
Exactly what he is.
And he hates that.
Yeah. And yet that's irresistible to him. And it drives him crazy.
Because he sees women as a prize to be won.
And she's kind of this novelty a little bit. She's this quirky, kind of unique, alternative girl. And so it's obviously
she's
extremely
down to
different.
Earth. Yeah. You know?
And she's not stupid. She's not some easy girl he can play to be like, are you impressed with what you see? It's like, she's like, no, I'm literally the opposite of impressed. you're full of shit. And that's hard for him. So there's complexities to him, even though, yes, it's as simple as he's an asshole, but there's a lot of depth to, like, his motivations behind kind of steering Blaine away and just being terrible and then getting a fight with Ducky.
I mean, why does he fight Ducky?
It's kind of an interesting scene because it's the two guys that want her like crazy and can't fucking have her. And it's not the guy who wants her and has her and is trying to protect her. It's not, and then, you know, him between either one of those. It's the two guys that are on polar opposites of the status spectrum, but are in the same exact place in her eyes. And that is even more infuriating to them because it's like, I just hate you more. It's like, how can we be in the same place?
I think Ducky is being a little bit more protective. He probably doesn't like Steph's vibe.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And what sucks is, I think, his overbearingness, his consistent, like, kind of obsession with her. It goes from, total protection to just so much. And it's like, she is a grown girl. She can make her own choices. And she's not making the worst choice. She's not going for Steph. I think if she were going for Steph, I'd be all the more understanding and on Ducky's side.
Yeah.
But she's going for Blaine, who really is the sweetheart, you know?
It's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
Real quick, have you ever been introduced to someone you already know and have to pretend that you don't know them?
Oh my God.
When Blaine Steph. And Andy go up to the room and they see Steph and Steph goes, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like,
you fucking asshole. You've been hitting on me every day.
Yeah, like, you've been hitting on me for 4 years. And I couldn't play it off. I would be like, hello?
No, that would be weird. So we talked about Ducky. We talked about Steph. The first two guys, actually the first three men you meet in this film are kind of the most difficult men that every woman kind of can relate to men in their life, I think. Her dad, who she has to do everything for. This kind of has,
it was
like,
sad to watch.
Kind of like in Thelma and Louise, like, where each guy represents a different shitty guy that women have to deal with. This is kind of like that. Ducky's that guy that's that friend you love, but he always wants more.
And you're not down. Yeah, we've all been there. Oh, yes.
Have we ever? And, right?
Especially in high school.
Oh, my God. And then, of course, you know, Steph is the asshole. There's always an asshole somewhere. Whether you fall for his shit or you don't.
Yeah, there were guys that were, like, kind of jerks in high school, and then you would be at, like, a party or even, like, AOL Instant Messenger to go back in time. And they'd start hitting on you, and you're like, you're such a jerk to me in public. Like, are you kidding me right now?
Just so stupid. So right off the bat, we're seeing the three consistent men that she has to deal with on a daily basis.
Problems.
That's super fucking suck. it's not great. And then we see her at work after school at Tracks.
With
Annie Potts being amazing.
Yeah, Iona. Oof.
She's like a creature of the decade.
Yeah, she kind of plays the role as Annie's mom.
Definitely her mentor.
Yeah,
there to help her.
She's fun. She's someone to look up to, you know, how she does her makeup and dresses. But then, like, she's kind of kooky, and Andy has to help her, you know, with the books. And
she doesn't have, what's interesting, at least in the beginning, she doesn't have the best relationship experience necessarily, because she's on the phone, like, bitching at some ex-boyfriend.
Well, it's constant. Like, she's constantly dating, and it kind of opens the viewer's eyes of, like,
this is
it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like, it doesn't just have to be the guy. Like, you gotta date sometimes. Yeah.
And this is her.
She finds her guy.
She does. And it's interesting because when you see her, she's willing to kind of be a little out of her normal element
and she finds
to find that and be with that guy. And it's not, okay, so she's a yuppie suddenly. Like, I think they kind of overstepped it.
Silly,
yeah, it was kind of a joke. She was like, how do I look?
I would look at it as more like he's kind of a square compared to her rhombus. Like, she's so out there and, you know, with a different wig every scene.
Yeah, whereas I think a younger her would be like, I'm not going to waste my time with guys like that. I want a bad boy, or I want a wild guy. I want a musician or something. And I think it's really sweet and wholesome to see her end up with this really sweet guy. And it's proof to Andy, you know, love is something that does come with learning. It's like you, it's not like, oh, you end up somewhere. It's like you blossom into something, kind of.
Yeah. They have taken you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And you might have been resisting that or thinking that it's square or, you know, something you're trying to avoid. Like, oh, he's too boring. Or even, you know, they call them yuppies or richies. And it's like, that doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Right.
You know, like, Andy automatically assumes Blaine is, like, a yuppie. And, you know, he goes to buy a record and she says, oh, is that going to be American Express Platinum?
Yeah, she's the first one who gives him shit.
Yeah, and he's like, just cash. Like, I'm just like you.
Yeah.
You
know? He kind of throws it back like, I don't really play that whole game. I don't see that divide or look at it quite as often.
He clearly didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't even, you know, he made a few mistakes. Like, he says one of the worst he picks her up and she goes, do you want to go home and change?
That was the worst one.
I already did.
No. Oh, it was so rough. Oh. So, yeah, we see adorable Blaine. He comes into Tracks and he kind of flirts with her.
He flirts with her, yeah.
And it's cute. You can see they have a thing for her, and there's a spark there, but she kind of is initially very much in denial of that.
Well, I think she just sees him right away as, like, a yuppie.
Yeah.
So
she kind of writes
also,
him off.
She knows he's friends with Steph.
Yeah.
So she's thinking,
anyone.
He's one of those.
Yeah.
He's just like Steph.
And they're friends with Benny, the bitchy girl from the first, like, few minutes of the movie where she got Andy in trouble in class. Like, these people suck.
I love when they're in the library or computer lab.
Oh, my God.
That old technology is just great. But
okay, every time I see that, I'm like, I just don't think their computers would have done that.
I have a huge problem with it. Would that photo have loaded that quickly?
No. It definitely wouldn't have loaded quickly. I don't think it even would have loaded looking that good.
Okay, yes.
Because if you remember, like, the way those screens, it was all just, like, blocky pixels.
Yes, but it looks great. Once she goes, do you know who I am? And he instantly has a photo of her, which I'm sorry, I'm super quick with my phone.
Yeah.
For me to like pull a photo of that person,
yeah,
screenshot it, and then send it would take longer.
And that's 2020 versus
this is 1986.
1986.
In like 93 was the first time I used the internet. It was my neighbors.
Yeah.
I was doing a project about Theodore Roosevelt, and he was downloading a photo, and it took 30 minutes to download this photo. So in 1986, I highly doubt that they're just like flashing. Yeah, like.
No, that's not a thing. I don't think that's ever been a thing.
No. Yeah, and you know what? It's really weird too. She says like, "Do you know who I am?" And he sends a picture of her. And then she goes, "Do you know who you are?" What?
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's weird language.
No, that's weird. Oh, and then the picture also does that weird like.
Oh, boop, the boop, fun. Boop,
boop, boop. It does like a little flip.
Yeah. That was John Hughes level editors. That wasn't.
Oh, that was cringy as
that
hell.
That wasn't high school computers.
It just didn't need that.
That 1986 program was better than the Oregon Trail I played 10 years later.
So much better. So much better than Oregon Trail. I never saw that shit.
I played
Oregon died of dysentery.
I played Oregon Trail on like that old Mac where it was like black and a green screen.
Yeah, black and green. There's a scene that's quite telling and just simple and perfect. Before Blaine actually asks her out, it's when she's at work and she's kind of starting to get another chance to flirt with Blaine a little bit. But Ducky comes through the back and like turns on turns on like the fire alarm. And just like is super obnoxious about it. He's like, "Hey, how are you? Like, didn't know I was coming." It's like they're open for business. Like, that's her job. Like, you just like came in.
Part of me felt like he did know that she was flirting with Blaine. Mm-hmm. And then part of me thinks that he's just so oblivious. And this is like an everyday occurrence.
Yeah. And then I think it goes to show too, guys like that, you know, who are very into somebody maybe. Like, you kind of get so into that person that you forget that they can make their own choices and they might like someone else. Not just not like you, but might like someone else. And I think that thought just doesn't even cross his mind because, like you said, he's just so oblivious being as attached as he is to her that's just not... He doesn't really see that in the realm of possibilities. It's like, well, we've been friends forever, so we're going to be together.
Yeah, and she hasn't expressed an interest in Blaine to Ducky at all.
Right.
So he is so caught off guard when, you know, she's getting ready for this date. He's like, what are you doing? You know, just so
And she
out.
Actually has a hard time expressing it to anybody except for Iona. Her friend Jen, who I adore in this, is her kind of alternative punk friend and goes to the club with her to watch music and stuff. And she kind of mentions it offhand, like, "What do you think about dating someone with money?" And like her friend's just like, "What are you talking about?" You know, it's like there's a clear lack of understanding and support that she just wouldn't get that, you know, from the people in her circuit. So that seems like, and that's all that peer pressure, and same with Blaine, it's all that peer pressure that's around them just going so against the potential desires for them.
Yeah, Andy and Blaine kind of are on the same page as they're not as affected as their friends are with status.
So yeah.
Steph is like, you know.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah, I won't even talk to these people. Ducky and Jenna are like, why would you even bother with Richies or yuppies? And, you know, even...
Like, they're all fake people.
Yeah, even Iona is kind of like, oh, like, yuppies. You know, they're really resistant. And Andy is, like, looking at that house like she wants to live there.
We set ourselves, or we come from a environment that tells us where we belong. And that's not always the case. And I always respect it. I always loved that Andy not only was strong in her life, taking care of people, kind of dealing with so much shit all at once. I always just loved that she looked a little further than maybe many girls in her circumstances. I think they're both surprised with each other that they are themselves. You know, it's like, oh, you're...
It's probably why they're attracted to each
other. Yeah, it's like, there's something I like about you. I don't even know what it is, you know? And when you're young, there's a lot of that. And then what's interesting in that scene where Ducky pulls the alarm is that at the same time, Steph comes in and distracts Blaine. And is like, what are you doing here, man? Let's go. And
he knows, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
He knows where she is.
That Andy works there. So he's taking her away. And he kind of even, like, turns around when he leaves. And
yeah.
Looks around,
kind of
like,
gives
we
got
to get out of here.
He's like, now's a good time to... distract him and get him out.
He calls Blaine out. He does not want Blaine to talk to Andy. And he knows that Blaine's the better guy.
For sure.
Pre-date hits hard. So they're at Tracks because Andy does not want to get picked up at home. She doesn't want Blaine to see where she lives. And he has not confirmed nor shown up. And so she's just hoping that he's going to show.
Yeah.
And Ducky has no idea about this date that's happening.
Right.
So Ayana is talking to Andy, kind of getting ready. And she says, like, honey, he's not going to come. That's a waste of good lipstick.
Yeah.
And he's like, and Ducky's like, what is she doing?
And yeah, he's like, what are you guys talking about?
Oh, she's putting on hopeful makeup.
Yeah.
Nothing is worse than getting ready and either one being stood up or plans canceled.
Yeah, because that's literally wasted makeup.
True. I mean, that's affordability is high.
Yeah.
It hurts so much, though, when you get ready and either, you know, someone stands you up or doesn't show up or cancels.
Because you put in your energy and efforts.
You know, Ayana says she's putting on wishful makeup. I've definitely been there where you think that a date is happening and you're like, either it might be like not in stone plans, and so you get ready just in case. So Blaine, I think, does a poor job in planning a date and just takes her to a high school party.
Oh, does he ever? Okay, why didn't he not just take her out to dinner? To
dinner or a movie or...
Like, it really bothers
something
fun. That he didn't have any plans.
No. He picks her up from tracks and he's like, do you want to go home and change? And that's a two-part because, one, she's embarrassed about what she's wearing, and the two, she's like, hell no, are you coming to my house?
Yeah.
So that's, like, making her feel really bad. And then
because it's the stuff she hadn't really thought about but she'll have to think about.
Then he has zero plans for the night. He's like, do you want to go to a party?
She's like, no. He just picks her up and is like, what do you want to do? It's like, what?
I think that happens a lot, though, at that age.
Yeah.
You know, movies would portray this thing of, like, you know, some guy getting a reservation and borrowing his dad's car. That's not real life. I mean.
Yeah. And then they have that fantastic encounter with Steph and Benny watching tunes.
Super uncomfortable.
Well, it's like, it's one thing. Like, I don't know why they came and sat down. It's like, if you open the door and you see them in there, clearly they're having their time and they're kind of half naked, so it's like, why walk in and sit down with them?
I think this movie is just doing a good job at putting fish out of water.
Yeah.
So
making everyone uncomfortable.
Either one of them is displaced. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after the date they go to meet her friends and he's uncomfortable there.
Yeah.
Before, when he asks her on the date, he goes and sees her at, you know, the spot she hangs out at lunch. He's uncomfortable.
Right.
She goes to this party. She's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They're just, it's constantly
realizing no matter where they go, they can't escape
all this peer pressure.
Yeah.
And it's just fish out of water, fish out of water, fish out of water.
Exactly.
And I mean, even
scene
when,
was no exception.
Even when Steph finds Blaine in the record store, he's kind of looking around. He's like, you're shopping for records? Like, this isn't what we do.
Yeah. I would not take a seat where two teenagers have been half naked for however long. I'm just saying, that's just not a good idea. I don't care how many beers are
they
in
were that. Clearly drunk, too. Yeah. So, you know, they're just, like, oozing alcohol.
And then the fact that she, like, is so drunk. She's like, don't I know you from somewhere? And it's just like, Jim. And she's like, your name's Jim? It's
just like, dude. That's a great line.
So drunk, but it is great.
That's one of the weirdest moves that people do when they think they're better than someone and they ask someone, how do I know you? Or do I know you? And you know they do.
Yeah. It's like, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of got you in trouble the other day. Don't act like that didn't happen.
You know exactly who I am.
Like, they both openly admit and agree that this is very uncomfortable and they kind of hate it and it sucks. So they're like, fuck this, let's go. And that's when they go to the club, which, again, I was like, why are you bringing your date to go see Ducky, who flipped out on you earlier.
I could see them having way more fun at the concert part.
Right. It just happened that, again, they can't really go anywhere.
But without... he's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And especially because Ducky makes him so uncomfortable. Like, Iona's much more mature, obviously.
Oh, Ducky's a straight-up jerk.
He's such an asshole to him. And it's like, you know, he's heartbroken and he's hurting, so I can see that. But
it's so hard for him to see her with Blaine.
Yeah.
And that's the first time he sees them, like, out. And
it's like, so hard. Quote,
official.
Yeah, yeah. It's so heartbreaking and sad. But then what's funny is, like, the end of the night, after these shitty two dates, essentially, that they have in one night, they end up kissing and they end up really liking each other. And it's like they know that all odds are against them. They're going to be together. And you're kind of excited for them.
Definitely excited. Like, mm-hmm. Rebel against the norm.
Yeah. Don't go with the status quo. So she gets asked to prom. Essentially, they are really into each other, but their peer pressure really does start to get to them. Blaine kind of, like, ghosts her, sort of.
He ghosts her. Yeah, he 1986 ghosts her, where he just looks at the phone, the rotary phone ringing.
Or his mom writes a note on the counter, and he just doesn't.
You know what little subtle detail I noticed?
What?
She has a pink rotary phone, and he has a blue digital, where it's the kind where you pick it up and then the buttons are inside.
Yeah.
I noticed that, like, that's just, you know, he's a little rich.
Yeah.
He's
got the little fancy boy.
The digital phone. But it's so uncomfortable just watching him with his legs crossed watching the phone ring.
Ugh. Oh, boy. Her dad straight up lies to her and says that he got a job.
I hated that.
That was painful.
I also didn't like that he bought her a dress because I know that he didn't have the money.
Right.
And she is one to have been able to make her own dress. She did borrow her friends and, like, she could have made it work. So, and it looked kind of expensive. So it looked like he just, like, blew it. And he's like, oh, I know it's a little busy, but you'll make something out of it. It's like, why didn't you just take her to go get fabric?
Yeah, He kind of was like, he was trying to make up for probably the fact that he, like, lied about this job or having this job.
No, she doesn't know about the lie yet. When he gives her the dress.
I think he probably is trying to buy time. Like, he's I'm going to get her this, and then hopefully she'll be excited about that. She'll focus on that.
Maybe,
and not really bug me about
this. She goes, where'd you get money for this? Your job? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, it tears at your heartstrings. It's like, no. Her dad comes clean about not having had the job all this time. And it gets really real because they have sort of like a shouting match talking about how her mother left 3 years ago, which is like heartbreaking as hell because
it's kind of fresh still.
Yeah. It's not like she left 20 years ago. Get over it, Dad. It's like that's still fresh for him, especially. And that means her mom left like right when she was probably starting high school, like her most vulnerable age where you need a mom, you know? And if you don't.
Oh, yeah. Start your period.
It's so much terrible shit. Yeah. You really need that guidance, you know? And she has Iona, but it's like.
It's so fresh. They probably even have kind of a little bit of optimism that she's going to come back. It's only 3 years.
He definitely does.
He does, yeah.
And it's sad. He says, like, he kind of admits, like, that's what he's holding out for, and that's all he really thinks about.
But Andy's moved on because she says, I loved her, too.
Yeah.
I know she has it looks like she has a photo of her mom next to her bedside table.
Yeah.
But she says, I loved her, too.
Yeah.
She says she knew it when she was 5.
Yeah.
That her mom did. And she goes, you were 50 and you didn't even know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like her dad is like Ducky.
Exactly. I was just about to say that because I thought maybe they did this, or partially why they did this is because if they wanted her to end up with Ducky, maybe this was like, this is what Ducky will be if I don't end up with him. And.
Or my life would be like this if I ended up with Ducky.
Or that.
And I'm going to want to leave.
Yeah, no, really. Sad. It's so sad. It's so sad. Like, there's no happy way to put that. It's a very tough scene. I think what's sad, too, is when she kind of reassures him and he kind of, they end on like a good note, but when he leaves and like closes the door, she's so sad. And it's just a very lonely moment.
Yeah, well, you don't want your parents to lie to you, and then you mm-hmm. don't want to be disappointed in them that, you know, she's probably going to worry about her dad. Is he going to be able to take care of himself? Is she going to have to take care of him? Can she have a life outside of...
She's kind of like the parent in that relationship, especially when she does hide that she's crying. I feel like a kid goes to their parent when they're crying, but she doesn't want him to see her crying. Mm-hmm. And that's harder.
And it's so awkward when she says, you know, I came home on Wednesday before work and you were here.
Yeah.
Oof.
That it's like, she's not, that's the thing. Like, everyone around her is kind of trying to play her and think she's really fucking stupid, and she's not. You know, Ducky's like, oh, she'll be waiting around for me. And Steph's like, I could get with that eventually. And her dad's like, she won't know that I don't have a job. It's like they all just sort of...
People have underestimated her.
Yeah. Definitely. And that's hard. And I think a lot of teenagers can relate to that. After that, I think...
That's when he starts ghosting her, right?
Yeah. I was just going to say...
Immediately.
Yeah. He's just like... It seems very committed and promising. And then it's very much like... We're getting too close too fast or something.
Well, you know, Steph's probably in his ear. He has the worst excuse. Oh, I asked someone a month ago and I forgot.
Yeah. Jeez. That's nice.
That's not a thing.
No, that's not a thing.
You don't forget. That's like a set in stone date.
And you have to get a tux. You have to get a dress. Yeah, like, it's so a huge commit. It's
for
different.
For you to forget who you asked is kind of crazy.
That's and a bullshit excuse.
When you go to ask
And she calls the it. Second, she tells him.
Yeah. When you go to ask the second girl, your first thing in your mind is like, I already did this. I got to tell that other girl. I mean, that's ridiculous.
And what's hard is that's the first time he underestimates her, just like all the other men in the movie. He is like, if I just make this excuse and say I asked someone else, she will hopefully get off my back a little bit.
They don't really show too much why he ghosts her and kind of steps back. They don't show too much of
Steph
giving him a hard time. It's just kind of like he just disappears.
Yeah. They just kind of
Which maybe that. They're doing that because every girl has had this happen. And
what's the most relatable thing to women?
it's such a mystery and everyone's
answers.
Just
pure disappearance.
So we don't know just as much as she doesn't know.
Yeah, sadly. There's a scene where she goes dress shopping.
Ooh, and she sees Benny with her mom.
And Benny's like, obviously, as in Benny's nature, being such a bitch and being super unappreciative of the dress she's trying on. And
yeah, normally when you see that kind of run-in, you tend to see the mom maybe like yelling at the daughter, and you're like, oh, she doesn't have it better than me.
Right. But she's just a hoping. Brat.
Yeah. Where, you know, normally when you see like the mean girl outside and her mom's like Paris Geller.
Yeah.
In Gilmore Girls, she's like, you have blemishes and da-da-da, your hair.
Yeah. You kind of were so hoping for a slight bit of redemption. Like,
we didn't get that with Benny.
No.
We got, she's mean to her mother.
She's a straight up bitch.
Just as much as she is at school.
Yeah. So she's all around terrible. After that, kind of hoping that things are going to go right with, even though Blaine's not calling, hoping that prom's going to happen, Iona gives Andy her old prom dress from, like, the 60s. Yeah. And it's hot pink, you know, gorgeous and polka-dotted and old school. So when things are, like, shitty upon shitty, that's when she confronts Blaine and is like, what the hell?
Yeah, she's been pushed to her breaking point.
Yeah.
And just goes and confront him. And he's trying to play it cool. He's like, oh. And she's like, I love this kind of high school drama where it's like.
Confrontation in the hallway.
No, like, I saw you outside. Like, I waited for you and I saw you outside and I thought you saw me too.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I didn't. I just remember having conversations like that. Like, you walked by me.
Yeah. Aww. And she really puts him on the spot. I mean, she's yelling at him. She gets in his face. And Ducky, he gets very emotional about this. And it's kind of that, I told you so, these guys are no good.
They play my favorite Smith song while he's in his really sad, bleak room.
A sad room. God damn it, Dougie. What the hell?
They couldn't have given him a bed frame?
It kills me.
It looks like he's living in what used to be a motel and turned into apartments or something.
Well, it's sad. You never really see him, like, with family. Like, who does he live with? He doesn't have anybody. It's so sad.
I think he's portrayed that way because his kind of whole world is Andy. So we don't get to see him outside of that world.
Yeah.
He tells her, he's like, I live for her.
Yeah.
I live every day for her, and he just comes in.
Yeah. Everything is her that, like, there's nothing else.
Oof.
That's so sad. Baby.
So then we see two fights. Andy and Blaine fight, and then Ducky and Steph fight. Everyone's upset. It's all about money.
All about money.
And peer pressure.
That's what the 80s was. Just socioeconomic status crisis.
But this is kind of when she pulls herself up and realizes, like, okay, I don't need him to take me to prom. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do me.
Me time, for sure. She shows her dad the dress. It's like the reveal of the dress. She tells her dad, I'm just going because I just want to show them that they didn't break me. And Molly Ringwald has said that all these years, women come up to her, like, sometimes tearing up, mentioning that line, because that line really inspired them and really helped them to get past things in their life, because it's just, sometimes you do feel broken or hurt, and apparently that was such a big deal, and I loved it, too, because I'm like, yeah, screw them, you know, do you, and sometimes show up, just to show up. You never know what happens. Let's talk about the dress. How do you feel about the dress?
Well, one, I read that Molly Ringwald hated it.
Yeah.
And John Hughes, like, put his foot down and was like, you are wearing this.
Yeah.
I think it was probably edgy at the time. It definitely looks kind of homemade.
Yeah. The whole thing is the pink polka dot, but it's just a cut in a really unflattering bag.
Yeah, it's like a 80s sack.
Bag sack dress, but with this... the weird detail from the other dress as, like, the top chest and back part. I think, I want to say there's, like, a little flare down at the back bottom. Way, way down by the shins because, you know,
by the shins.
So sexy.
Yeah, it didn't feel as cool 80s as I wanted it to be.
Yeah, and I think if Molly Ringwald herself was like, fuck this dress, then I think... she probably would have had a good idea of what would have been more like, damn, that's on point. I think, like, the idea is great. Like, she made something out of the two things she was given, and she's going to rock it, and she's going to show them. Like, it's a huge moment in the movie, but I do think the actual result is a little bit... it's not that it's super disappointing. It's just a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe that was intentional. You know, we really don't want to see her as, like...
some preppy...
yeah, like... over-the-top thing. Or, like, in Teen Witch, how she turns into, like, the prettiest girl in school.
Yeah.
Or, like, in She's All That when she's just total makeover, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, my gosh, but she becomes one of them.
You don't want it to be unrealistic.
She's still herself and edgy and, like, wearing something no one has because she made it.
Right. And that's the coolest
They just part. Kind of missed the mark a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have looked cool back then. It might have.
I mean, she did work it. Like, it looks like she loves it, but knowing that it wasn't her favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes dresses really become iconic with a movie, mm-hmm. and because in the title it's Pretty in Pink.
And it plays a role in the movie.
Yeah, then you would kind of hope it would be this, like, jaw-dropping mm-hmm. dress.
I like the idea for sure. And I do think it came out pretty great, but not maybe what I was hoping for.
For her, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was last minute.
Yeah, it literally was. She made it herself. I can't fucking do that.
Glad that she didn't just, like, backslide and call Ducky and be like, okay, can I go with you?
Yeah.
Like, she needed to be confident. Like,
some rebound doormat type of
person. And I'm glad he didn't show up at her door. Like, Ducky's not at the door, and he's like, oh, I'm taking
the corsage.
Like, yeah, like, she needed to go on her own. Yeah. And even though it was just getting to that front door,
yeah,
that meant so much.
And, you know, he needed to go on his own. And I think he goes on his own, not knowing whether or not she'll be there.
But that was his MO, though. He would just go to things he knew she was at and wait for her. Like the, you know.
So you think he went there to wait for her?
Yeah.
He showed up and then.
No, he was there waiting for her to show up, hoping.
Yeah.
Just like how he would wait for her after concerts or work. You know, this was kind of his thing. And, you know, she's happy to see him. Mm-hmm. And then, but he knows that Blaine is, you know, the better one for her, that she's into Blaine, and he tells her that he came alone. He's definitely there at that point to support her and not to just be with her, hope to be with her. He knows at that point already that it's over.
You know, if I really want her to be happy, this is what makes her happy.
I'm her friend. Yeah, kind of like if you love someone, you let him go.
This does look like a really fun pastel-colored prom.
Would you expect anything less from the 80s?
No. Duckies, rocking the duck shoes.
He is. He looks great, though, in the bolo tie.
I know. His style. And he has a little swagger. It's like he's been hurt, but it's building character for him. You know, he's learning, too.
I wonder if he really had a change of perspective after he fought with Steph.
Yeah.
Because I think when he fought with Steph, he saw, I'm just like him.
Yeah.
Even though we're so different, we come from different worlds, we're in the same exact place with Andy.
Yeah. I think that's everything. And I think writing-wise, when they were doing their reshoot and sort of changing the conclusion, that was where they went, this is the thing that's helping us. Is this right here that's going to make it make more sense?
So, fun fact, the end of the movie, Blaine is wearing a wig because...
It's very obvious, too. It's so... Like, my whole life watching this movie, I'm like, why is his hair different? I just thought, okay, it's prom. Like,
they went back to reshoot, and he had shaved his head for another role. Now, how did they get James Spader's hair to look exactly the same?
It looks fucking great. Yeah. It looks douchey as ever. So they walk in and Steph sees her and he's just in douche mode already. And he interacts with Blaine and Blaine calls him out. Blaine is like, you could never have her. She was the one person who wouldn't give you the time and she could see right fucking through you. And that hurts. You can see in his face like that got him. And that's when Blaine approaches.
Yeah, well, because no one steps up to Steph.
Yeah.
He's used to being the one on top, so he doesn't like that.
Mm-hmm. He's a top.
Which is really, like, high school dramatic is when he's like, oh, you never believed in me, and I always believed in you. And he's like,
yeah,
I love you. Always. And kisses her. It's like, I love you. In high school, you literally kissed her one time. Like,
I know. Oof. I know.
But that's what kids do.
That's how you think. And sometimes that's the perspective.
That's really how you feel at that age. But when you get older, you realize like, that was not love.
Yeah.
And he kisses her on the cheek and like walks away. And then Ducky's like, I'm never going to take you to another prom again. Go get him.
And then, of course, what's cute is when Andy and Blaine go off, Ducky makes eye contact with
Duckette,
who's adorable. That's how she's
billed.
She's super cute. She's a hottie, and she's super into him, and it's very cute.
I do like when there's a dance kind of situation, and the couple goes outside and has their own moment.
Yeah.
Super romantic that, like, there's something bigger happening, but you guys have, like, a secret. You went off somewhere else. But they kiss, and then the great If You Leave song starts again, and it's just so good.
It's epic.
I love that song.
It really is. I think the part where Ducky kind of tells her, you know, go off, like, he's not like the others, you were right. The lyrics in the song right then, they say, we'll meet again someday. right when Ducky kind of lets her go. So there's like a little hope that in the future, when they both grow and they both change a little bit and they both kind of come into their own even more, that maybe they get together. Who knows? And it just ends there, fades out with the kiss. This has been such a good movie. I return to this quite often. It is emotional, but I love it. I think it's good for Valentine's Day. It deals with all the woes, the ups, the downs, the drama that comes with teen love. And what is more entertaining than teen love?
A lot of things.
Yeah. That's true. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Having watched Pretty in Pink, we are going to provide you guys with the ultimate Pretty in Pink drinking game.
You're going to need maybe something pink, something, you know, I suggest a rosé.
For sure.
Sparkling rosé, maybe like a Cosmo.
Brie, what's your first drinking game request?
Anytime Iona has a new crazy wig or hairdo.
Yes. I love it.
So when you see that beehive, that kind of
like sia, white.
Like white, yeah. Like Egyptian, or the spiked whatever that was.
God, that was amazing.
Oof, I would not want to wash that hair after all that gel.
Take a sip every time someone's not in class when they should be. Like Steph's he just doesn't go to. He just doesn't go.
He's Duckies. Just smoking a cigarette in the hall.
Yeah. They're just not where they're supposed to be, these kids.
Take a sip anytime somebody says or refers to someone as a yuppie or a richie.
Yeah.
So you hear that a lot.
I would say take a shot when Blaine somehow manages to make computer magic happen and photos turn into other photos with pixels that shouldn't exist.
For a shot, I would say take a shot every time they kiss.
Take a shot during Ducky's dance.
Chug your rosé or pink beer during the Ducky and Steph fight scene.
Ooh, I like that. I was going to say.
What? Do you have a good last kiss?
Finish moment? Your drink when Ducky gets a girl.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
So that's pretty cute. Thank you guys so much for joining us with this episode. Thank you, Brie, so much for being my Binks today and for being my Valentine.
Thank you. I was real worried I wasn't going to have a Valentine, so mark that off. You better not ghost me before.
Woo, I know. Oh, I already asked someone a month ago. So.
Damn it. Did you ask Pat already?
Yes. And thank you, of course, to Fiona, who has been a total sweetheart this entire recording. Thank you, Boo Boo, for being a great producer. Thank you, Bijan, for the equipment and for being my big brother and our big sponsor. You're the best.
Not my big brother, but big sponsor.
No. Yeah, no. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram. Feel free to join the website mailing list, or of course, you can subscribe and become a member, which is even better.
Yeah, it's super fun. You get updates and fun facts and videos, and you find cool stuff that we completely forgot to talk about.
Yeah.
And drinking game rules, just in case you forgot.
Yes, that way you can show them and share them with all your friends. I have a real issue with fake technology in movies that just doesn't exist, and they just, like, I'm like, this is a thing. Like, unless it takes place in the future, like, Xenon, cool. Zap pad, great. But, like, that.
Okay, but what about.
Was a problem.
The Kelly Rowland and Nelly song Dilemma, where she has her, like, sidekick kind of phone and she types where you at or something like that. Yeah. And it's in an Excel spreadsheet. That's why he didn't text you back, girl. Like, you didn't send it.
It's still sitting in an Excel spreadsheet from 2006.
She's in column 1A on the phone.
No. Why? How?
I love that song.
God, that's great.
Kelly, girl, like, he never got the text. You were in Excel.
Got it. That's why the song.
You were on a spreadsheet. That's the dilemma.